And the next morning you wake up and you have 100 plus different albatrosses just hanging around the ship, the giant petrels all over the place. It was absolutely surreal seeing a bird with a 3.6 meter wingspan, single digit meters away from you, is just an experience you can't describe in words.
Get ready for a very special episode of the Birding Life podcast. My name is Adam, and this is Africa's number one birding podcast. As with many of the season's episodes, this one was recorded on the Flock to Marion cruise. So far, we've heard from many of the older folk who joined the cruise, but today, it's all about the youth. In this episode, we hear from four inspiring young birders. They'll share their experiences on the cruise, their own birding journeys, and why they believe Marion Island must be restored. We kick things off with Caleb De Beer, followed by Matteo Risch, Nicholas Hopkins, and finally, super achiever Yuri Blichnotes. To wrap up the episode, we hear from BirdLife South Africa's AV Tourism Manager, John Kinghorn. One episode, four incredible young voices. We encourage all our listeners to leave a legacy for the future by supporting the vital conservation work that BirdLife South Africa is doing. Your support helps protect key bird areas like Marion Island for generations to come. You'll find a link in the show notes to learn more and get involved. Now, let's get this episode started with our first guest, Caleb De Beer. So, Caleb, first and foremost, awesome to have a chat to you. A famous bird already. Awesome.
Really nice to be here.
That's good to have you on the show, and you get a nice cap, so wear the cap on the field, eh?
Yeah.
So tell us about yourself firstly.
So I live in Durban area on a farm out there with some lovely area with amazing views. And yeah, I'm in grade 8, I'm 13, and I like to bird.
And besides birding, what are your other hobbies?
So I like Rubik's cubing and fishing and just running around on the farm, having fun.
So what birds have you got on the farm? That's quite cool living on a farm.
Yeah, we've got Narina trogon, gorgeous bushrike, all the forest birds.
That's nice. That's really cool. And you've got a collection of Rubik's cubes.
Yeah, so I've got 3 3x3s and a 2x2.
And what's your record?
My record is 32 seconds on
32
the 3x3 and on the 2x2, 15 seconds.
I've never even solved one, so that's like really good. Well done, eh?
Yeah, thank you.
Do competitions one day, maybe?
Yeah, I'm planning to do nationals this year.
That's fantastic. That's such a cool hobby, eh?
Yeah, it's a fun hobby.
So how did you get into birding? How did your birding journey start?
So it actually started with my dad busy bribing me with snacks, and then I got a camera and it just escalated from there.
Yeah. So it must be so nice, like having a lot of people we speak to, their parents don't bird. It must be so nice having a dad who birds, because it's something that you get to do together, and there's a lot of memories you have together with your dad. It must be very, very special.
Yeah, it is really nice, because often in the mornings when you're birding by yourself, which I have done before, you have to set your own alarm, you got to get ready. But when it's your dad, you can just wait. He waits for the perfect time, wakes you up, hears everything's ready, and it's nice. You can just get in the car and leave when you're twitching and stuff.
And also helps that your dad was birding before you, so it helped you with IDs and everything.
Yeah.
But you're probably getting better than him already, am I right?
I'm getting there.
Nah, yeah, I'm sure you're getting very, very good, eh? So do you have friends who bird yet, or you mostly bird by yourself or with your dad?
Yeah, so we do have a young community that has started for youth birders on WhatsApp, and there's actually quite a few here with us on the flock. So
you guys spend some time together?
We do spend some time, yeah.
That's super awesome, eh? So what I'm excited about but also jealous about is that you haven't just birded in South Africa, you've birded in other countries, including the Southern Oceans, which is really awesome. Yeah. Your friends are sitting at school this week sweating in 38 degrees and you're sitting in the Southern Ocean. That's awesome, eh?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So what countries have you visited?
So I've visited Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Botswana, all the Southern African countries.
And not bird now, but what is your favorite memory of birding from the whole time? There's one thing you're like, wow, that is so awesome. What is your favorite memory you've ever had as a birder, besides the flockeries we'll talk about in a moment now?
Maybe just going in the Eastern Highlands, where I really wanted to see the black-fronted bushrike. I walked outside, I just sat there, and a bird party comes through, and then I just feel something fall on my pants, and it's poo. I'm like, look up, and there's the black-fronted bushrike.
Well, that's cool.
That is fun, yeah.
A poo from a poo. So that's your favorite bird also?
That's my favorite bird, yeah.
That's awesome. And what birds do you still want to see? What is, like if I said, Caleb, you can choose one bird anywhere in the world, what would be that bird?
Madagascar cuckoo.
That's awesome, eh?
Yeah.
And loops right now and then, so you're just going to have to like twitch and that type of thing.
Eh? Yeah, I'm going to have to twitch.
But like you're choosing like a really drab brown bird. I mean, normally people choose colorful birds. You're choosing a boring looking bird, eh?
The reason I choose the Madagascan is because that's one of the only birds my dad still has up on me. So
that's
got to get that one. Yeah.
It's not competitive, but it is competitive.
It is competitive.
Exactly. So you spoke about your favorite bird. What's your bird list on? You were telling me before, and you got quite an impressive bird list. I'm actually a bit jealous. Your bird list is actually even, I think it's ahead of mine. You're ahead of mine at the moment. So well done.
Yeah, my Southern African bird list is 772, and then international is 777.
That's fantastic. Well done.
Yeah.
So you're doing some really good birding, and you've amazing memory. So I'm chatting to you on the cruise. I mean, we're sitting here, it's rocking a little bit. Yeah. How has the cruise been? What has it been like, you know, spending time on this cruise?
It's been a very amazing experience. I think it is my favorite birding experience. Like, I've never been around so many birders in my life. It's an amazing atmosphere. Like, if you see a bird, like everyone gets excited, and I'm not often around that. It's usually one or two birders. It's not like a whole atmosphere of birders.
So on Monday morning, I think it was Monday morning, we woke up and it was freezing cold. I think most people got out of bed very, very early, and we walked outside and Marion Island was in the distance and it was cold, but there were lots and lots and lots of birds. Tell me how you felt when you walked into deck that morning. What went through your mind? How did you feel? Were you like, was it like a bit of a tear in your eye? Were you just excited? Did you let like a really like a weird sound? I don't know. How did you feel when you walked on deck?
So first, it was a mixed bucket of emotions. When I walked out, I felt like it's cold, it's windy, this is going to be a hard day. And then I just saw the island and all that just left my mind. And then it was just like, I'm probably never going to see this again in my life. And then it was just see as many birds as possible. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity that I'm probably not going to get again. And it was a pretty emotional moment when you see all those birds around you. You don't know where to look.
And did you get any penguins? How many penguins did you see on the?
I actually saw all four penguins that were sighted.
So jealous, eh? I didn't see the Gentoo penguins. I was so sad I didn't see the I was looking very hard. I didn't see them.
Yeah.
And how many hours did you wake up? Did you wake up really early most days or did you sleep in a bit?
Today was actually the first time I sort of slept in, and I woke up at 6. So, Most days I would wake up at like 3:45.
And have you eaten too much food this week?
Definitely.
Food is good, eh?
Food is really good.
Yeah. So I think we're obviously here and we've seen Marion Island. And as a young person, you've heard about the Mouse Remarion Project. You've heard about what's happening to these mice on Marion Island. Why do you think, as a young person, why do you think people should support the Mouse Remarion Project?
Because I feel that I've had the opportunity to see the island, but most young people haven't yet. They were stuck in school. They have to write exams. I feel like if we don't save the island, then most people aren't going to get to see it again. And it's also, I can't remember exact, but I think it's like 95% of wandering albatross are on that island. And that's just an insane bird. Like, when I saw the first one, I literally started crying. It was insane.
Everyone says, like, you think, if I told before, you think, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But every time you see it, it does. For every one of us, it's like you just get emotional when you see it.
Yeah, it's the most profound feeling.
That's amazing. I think it's what you were saying now about that you want other young people to experience that one day. So the last question is you're a young bird of 13 years old. You've got an impressive life list. Why do you think young people should get into birding? Because I think there's a lot of people that think, yo, it's strange. You're 13 years old. You should be sitting on your phone the whole day and that. Why do you think other young people should get into birding? What makes birding so exciting for someone who's 13 years old?
So for me, it's actually just a chance to get away from school, to get outside.
Always a good to get away from school.
It's always good to get away from school. But like that stress that you can just go outside on a Sabbath afternoon after church and you can just look at birds. Like even if you don't have a binocs or a camera, just to go outside, you don't even have to know what the birds are. It's just to get out into nature and to experience that feeling.
And it obviously, as someone who is a person of faith, that connects you to God also because you see His creation around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Caleb. I really appreciate you having a chat. It's been so cool to chat to you. And maybe one day you'll be working. You never know, maybe working on Mariana.
I certainly hope so.
So I'm sitting with Matteo Riscia. He's one of the young birders on the Flock to Marion cruise. So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how old you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself firstly.
So I come from KZN in Greytown area and I'm 16 years old. I love birding, go almost every weekend, go birding. My favorite bird is the Bokmakiri. I've enjoyed the cruise till now. We've seen a lot of birds and almost all of them were lifers.
That's fantastic. So you're based in Greytown. What is your favorite places to go bird? I know when you're young, you're relying on your parents to take you around. You don't have your own car yet. So what are your favorite places to go and bird?
So we often go to Shushui, but it's far, but we do like going to Kruger.
Mm. Have you got any really cool leopard sightings yet?
Yes, this last year in December, we went to Skukuza and we saw a nice leopard there. Yep. Came right up to us.
I've always been very lucky with leopards. I'm very jealous. So your life list, I see you on your cap, you've got the 500 branch. What is your life list on?
So it's on 551.
That's really well. Well done, dude. 550, eh? You'll be at 800 soon, eh?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So how did you start birding? Because like a lot of younger people don't bird. How did you get into birding? And do you have any other friends who bird with you and that type of thing?
So I started from since I could talk. We used to go to Austin Roberts Bird Sanctuary in Pretoria quite often. And I just started from there. My mom used to tell me, like, it's not a bird, but it's a laughing dove or greenwood hoopoe. So,
been lots of fun. So that's nice. A nice way to learn because you obviously learned the bird names nice and early and it's helped you with your identifications already, yeah?
Yeah.
And have you done any trips out the country or you only birded in South Africa?
So we went up Sani Pass and then obviously into Lesotho a bit, but didn't see anything new. And last year I did go to Germany and saw, I think, 60 odd birds.
Heard there's some really nice birds in Germany, yeah?
Yes. It's not a lot, but the ones that are there are nice.
Was it cold when you were there?
No, it was summer, but right at the end of my visit, it got quite cold.
Now, so for the listeners who might not know, your first language at home is actually German, eh?
Yes.
That's really, really cool.
It is.
So on the cruise, you've been on the cruise. I don't know how many days, we've been here a long time. We're on the way back now. How did you feel? So I think the first 2 days was quiet. Remember, it was like you were seeing nothing. What were you thinking those first 2 days when there was like nothing showing and you were looking and looking and like nothing? What did you feel? What do you think? Were you like, maybe it's a bit disappointing? What were you thinking about the cruise then?
I thought so. We only saw maybe a shearwater like every hour or so. So it was like, I thought we would have seen more. But when we got to the island, I was surprised to see like everywhere you look, there's a bird.
And what time did you wake up on that when we were by Mary? And what time, what did you get out of bed?
We woke up at 4.
4.
Or 4:30, but we went down at 4.
Okay, so tell me, how did it feel? So you walk out, especially that first morning, you've seen a few birds, then you walk out that first morning, and I remember that morning it was cold.
Yeah.
Freezing cold. But there were thousands and thousands of birds flying, albatrosses, sooty albatrosses, wandering albatrosses, light metal albatrosses, selvins, lots of prions, selvins, yeah. Prion, lots of prions flying past. How did that feel when you walked out that morning and it was cold? But how did you feel? What went through your mind when you saw so many birds?
So when I walked out, I was like, oh no, it's cold. And then when I went to look for a space, we found one right at the front, and there were just like so many birds. I didn't know what to photograph. And then like I had to quickly take out my phone on BirdLasso, log, and it was endless, just new birds.
And did you prepare a lot on before the cruise, or did you mostly rely on the guides to help you?
We did go to the seabird identification course in the Durban Bird Club. That did help a lot with Key, who did quite a few activities, and that did help a lot. And then obviously also the bird apps also help. But with prions, you can only go to the bird guides to help.
It's been very difficult, but you got fairy prion. I didn't get fairy prion.
Yes, it was like it's always in between the sounds, just difficult to see.
So what was your, we saw a lot of really amazing birds. I don't know all the birds you got to see and the birds you didn't get to see, but when you leave this cruise and you think back and you think those were the birds that were the most exciting, what birds do you really like remember and say, wow, that was just so special seeing that bird? What sticks in your mind?
Obviously the Pintado Petrel is, it just looks so nice with the coloration. And also the sooty and light mantled albatrosses, just like how they look is amazing.
So you know, for other young people that are maybe 16 years old and sitting on their phones or their, I don't know what all young people are doing, Xbox or whatever, and aren't getting out, what would be your encouragement for young people to get into birding? Why do you think other young people should be doing what you're doing, going out and birding, looking for birds? What do you think is attractive with birding for young people?
So probably what I would say is, especially with photography, that's nice because you can like post it and look at, like identify it afterwards. So I'd say probably go out. There's like such beautiful birds, such nice calls. And for example, Kruger, like you're only looking for animals, you're missing 90% of what you could see because there's birds everywhere and animals not that much.
Mateo, thank you so much for chatting. I really appreciate it. We will put the link for your Instagram in the profile. Everyone must go follow you, make you famous. And yeah, when you see Mateo next time, hopefully he'll be wearing a nice Birding Life cap. So go say hi to him. But thank you for chatting. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
So Nick, it's good to have a chat to you. So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Nicholas Hopkins. I live in Hoedspruit in the Raptors View Wildlife Estate. Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
And now I want to hear this story. How did you get into birding?
So my parents introduced me to birding when I was a 2-year-old. Just the basics. And ever since then, it's took off.
And what's your favorite bird you've seen?
My favorite bird I've ever seen would probably be a Pell's fishing owl.
Pell's fishing owl. I've never seen a Pell's fishing owl.
I saw it. Yeah, it's an amazing bird. And I saw it like, I think it was a day after or a day before my birthday. So
a nice birthday present.
Yeah.
And what's your life list on?
I've seen 577 birds in Southern Africa, bird species.
That's really awesome. Well done. That's like getting towards 800 soon, eh? And then you've obviously visited other, what places have you visited as a birder?
So I've been to South Africa, obviously, Lesotho, Zimbabwe, and Namibia.
That's fantastic, eh?
Yeah.
And if you think of all those places, where's your favorite place to bird? If like
besides this place where we're going to talk about now, where's your favorite place to bird?
Well, I can't really see much more life is, but it would probably be, I can't see much more life is there, but it would probably be the bush, Kruger National Park.
Kruger's amazing. It's not just the birds, it's also the Big Five. And I'm sure you've had some good leopard sightings, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm never lucky with leopards. It's a bad thing, eh?
Yeah, you have to be lucky with leopards.
So you managed to get off school to come on this cruise. That's a good thing. It's one good reason to come on the cruise. So how have you found the cruise as a younger person? How have you found the cruise?
It's been amazing. I mean, I've never been on a pelagic before. So all the birds that I've seen here have been new birds. And the overall experience, I've never been on a cruise before, birding or not birding.
And have you eaten a lot of food?
Yeah, quite a lot of food. I've skipped a few meals because I've been twitching a bird or something like that. But yeah, the food's been great.
And what have been some of your, on the trip, what have been some of your highlights, your birding highlights on this cruise?
My birding highlights would be seeing a blue petrel, which I missed multiple times, but I eventually saw it just as we were getting out of its range. So yeah, and the white-headed petrel, I really enjoyed that bird. Yeah, those would probably be my two best sightings.
And have you managed to meet some of the other young people? There's a lot of young people on the boat. It's quite nice, eh?
Yeah, I've met a few young people. Yeah, but mostly been birding.
That's awesome, eh? But yeah, I think, so from a young person, so we got the other morning, let's ask this question first. The other morning, Monday morning, seemed like a long time ago. Again, it was ice cold when we woke up and we walked out that morning and it had been quiet. Up to then, it had been very quiet. You hadn't been pelagic. What do you think the first few days when it was so quiet, were you like a little bit disappointed maybe? And you think, sure, maybe it's not going to be as good as I thought it was going to be. It was quiet the first few days.
I was just hoping because I was just hoping that there'd be an increase of birds near Marion because I thought there was going to be more birds around South Africa. When we got near Marion, it didn't disappoint. So, yeah.
So what did you feel like in the morning? So tell me what it felt like. So you woke up in the morning. I'm sure you woke up very early. You walk outside. It's freezing cold. And there were just thousands of birds flying around. And you could see Marion Island in the distance. What went through your mind as you walked through those doors and you saw it?
Which birds are they? Have I missed any birds? I hope I can see a few rare birds, and I never actually saw Marion Island because I was birding too much. I was on the other side. Yeah, and also just amazing, like 100% of those birds are new birds for me, and I didn't think that there were going to be that much birds after we came in through the other waters and we saw like great winged petrels and that's it.
And did you see, how many penguins did you see?
I saw two types of penguins and, yeah, macaroni and king penguin. And I saw one group of king penguins and one group of macaroni penguins.
King penguins, they're hard to see, the penguins, eh?
Yeah, they're quite hard, difficult to see. And yeah, I kept on missing them, but luckily I saw them. The king penguins were really nice.
So you've been on this cruise and you've seen a bit about Marion Island now. So you're 12 years old, a long way to go compared to us in your life. You've got many, many more years to go than us. What would you say? Why do you feel that we should be supporting the Maelstrom Marion Project? Why do you think why do you think that this project is so important?
So that future generations can experience albatrosses, like the wandering albatross around here, around South Africa, and they can also tick off all the birds that I've ticked off this trip. And birds are amazing. And if you didn't have birds in the open ocean around Marion Island, it would just feel like empty space.
That's absolutely fantastic. And last question, you're a younger birder. Why do you think all youngsters should be doing birding? Why do you think this is the coolest hobby in the world?
Because, well, birding, I can't explain birding. It's just super fun, interesting. It's like an inexplainable hobby. Like, it's fun to tick birds, But the real reason is, like, birds themselves are just amazing, and identifying them and just watching them is amazing, and seeing what they do in their everyday lives and how they fly, and as I'm repeating, just how they look, and they're just so amazing.
That's fantastic. Nick, thank you for chatting. I appreciate it. Looking forward to maybe one day you'll work on the island. You never know, hey?
Yeah, I really want to. Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much.
As always, The Birding Life is proud to be associated with Swarovski Optic, one of the world's leading producers of binoculars, monoculars, and spotting scopes, as well as the BirdLasser bird logging app, Spot, Plot, Play a Part. Download and install the app to play your part in social conservation. One of the ways that you can help us to keep putting out the content that we are releasing is by supporting our online shop. We sell optics, books, Westermann's products, and a whole lot more. Check out the shop on our website, www.thebirdinglife.com. If you need any help with any of the products, please don't hesitate to email us on info@thebirdinglife.com. So chatting to Yuri Blichnot, an 18-year-old birder, was on the flock to Marion Cruz, and just what I said to him now, an incredible person, just incredible character, bright future ahead. So to start off, tell us a little bit about yourself. Besides your birding, I don't want to hear about your birding. Tell us about yourself. I know you had a cracker year academically last year, so you can tell us about that. Yeah.
Hey, my name is Yuri Blichnot. I come from Rustenburg in the Northwest Province. I just matriculated. I'm starting with my first year medical studies at the University of Free State on Monday. So that's in 4 days' time. And yeah, I've had the amazing honor to be named as the top achiever in the quintile 4 schools category for the National Senior Certificate exam. It's been a wonderful, blessed year, and I'm just thankful for what lies behind and what comes in the future. It's been a very busy year, very little time for birding because I was so invested in the academics, but it's wonderful to be on this cruise and enjoy the birds for the first time in a while.
So what is that, your top four, what would that be, and what do you explain that a bit?
So in South Africa, the public schooling system is divided into 5 quintiles, where the quintile 5 schools are the most well-off schools in terms of they look at the percentage of the learners at the school paying full tuition fees. So quintile 5 is the best in terms of tuition fees. Quintile 4 is a bigger bracket of the school not paying full tuition fees but being subsidized by the government, and from quintile 3 to quintile 1 is non-fee paying schools. So they subdivide the quintile 3 to quintile 1 in terms of where the school is located, the amount of violence and gang activity and socioeconomic factors in the community where that school is located. But on top of the being first in quintile 4, I'm third overall in the country, and then also the top performer for the Northwest Province.
So in other words, when you qualify as a doctor, we can trust you.
I really hope so. It's reaching for the stars a bit, but I hope to, in 5 years' time, when I get my degree, that I can say that I have completed it cum laude. And yeah, hopefully I can be such a good doctor as my academic records say.
So in terms of birding, how did you get into birding?
I've always had an immense love for nature, just because I feel that God as creator expresses his love through nature as well. And in the beginning of 2021, in January, we were supposed to go to our family holiday destination in Mossel Bay. We have an apartment there for a week, just to break away. But with COVID, the beaches were closed. And then we decided, hey, let's go for a week breakaway in Pilansberg instead, because it's a 15-minute drive from Rustenburg, where we live. And there we landed on the game viewing vehicle with a bunch of Outopi birders. And I found it so, so, so interesting. I think because it's, especially at the beginning, it's quite of an intellectual challenge where you need to, it's a steep learning curve, learning all the names, learning the calls, everything. And I enjoyed it so much. From there on forward, I haven't looked back ever since. It's been a wonderful journey. I've been into the birding for about 4 years now, and I enjoy every single moment of it.
So it seems like you're a very detail-oriented person. Would I be right for that?
Definitely, yeah.
Because, I mean, 4 years, what's your life list on now?
I'm on 571 species for the sub-region.
That's fantastic. Currently. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And out of that, what's your favorite species?
I'd say the grey-crowned crane. From just when I started birding, I saw this bird and I thought, yeah, it's magnificent. Just the unique design, especially the face and then a golden crown, even though it's called grey-crowned crane. And yeah, I've been very fortunate to have had quite a few wonderful sightings of them, including we saw two of them on the way down to Durban at Howick when you just quickly stopped there over there for an hour or so of birding. And yeah, I absolutely love the species. I think it's beautiful.
So why ask about the detail orientated? For someone who's been birding for 4 years, you've got an incredible knowledge of birds already. So how has that learning process worked? And I asked the question for people that are listening, who might be saying, well, I want to grow and I want to improve myself as a birder. And I know you might be 18 years old, but your understanding of birds like really exceeds some other people. So how does that learning process look? And the reason I ask is you're not just a birder, but you're also an academic. So you spoke about you didn't have as much time last year. How did that learning process look for you? How do you prepare yourself, maybe even for the flock cruise? How do you prepare yourself for the birds you want to see? And yeah, just go through that.
So I must confess that I'm sadly not as dedicated to the birds as I'd really want to be, because it's a part-time hobby for me. I don't necessarily put in that much time for preparation or whatever as I would for my academics. But at the beginning, it's really not about the efficiency of learning the whole bunch of species. It's just about putting in the time, if it's efficient or not. So for me, it started by just scrolling through Roberts time and time and again, picking up a few names and sometimes butchering the pronunciation of it. But I think the importance is to bird with people above your skill level to gain the infield knowledge as well, because the theoretical knowledge, and that's where I lack, is I have the theoretical knowledge, but the infield skill and bushcraft is something I really lack. So as I still learn about the birds, I find it important to make use of the birding community around me and get out in the field with people with more knowledge about me and I think about the birds than I have, especially the infield experience. And for me, it has always been in my academics and then in the birding been important that firstly, when you have a question, ask it. When you wonder about something, go and look it up in the app. And then also just keep your eyes and ears open. If you can listen in on conversations that people with a high skill level have, you can pick up on important details that just make you a much more rounded birder in the process. And that I enjoy.
So when you arrived here on the deck and you started birding the first day, honestly, for me, I was going to do all this preparation. I was like going to bang out the preparation and I didn't get the time to put the preparation because I had so much on my plate. And it was, you almost feel intimidated because I stood with all these birders who knew so much more. They're seeing this bird and they're pulling out the features, seeing this bird. And I'm like, this is like my honest confession, opening up the app to check the ID features just when the bird's about to show, just so I can familiarize myself with the difference between the species. I mean, prions are crazy in themselves. So how did you find it when you stepped on? It sounds like you might not have put the preparation that other people put into it. So how did it feel when you first started birding? Was there a sense of being a little bit overwhelmed at first, or was it just like, was there some knowledge that you were able to draw on? How did it feel when you started on the ship?
I'm just so lucky. I did luckily put in a bit of preparation, but I have never been ashamed to use the resources that I have. So where other people will feel like, I don't know the differences between these species, but I'm also too ashamed to show my weakness and pull up the app and look at the ID features. I just say, I just want to double check. Get out the app. It's not going to hurt anybody. You don't have to feel bad about it. So for me, that it was not so much of a problem, because you have the, yeah, you have the things that can help you, the resources that can help you right at your fingertips. Why not just use it even when you are out in the field? So yeah, that, and luckily, I must say, what helped this trip a lot is that we had so many expert guides that can just immediately point out. They put in the study work for you. So that makes the birding a bit laid back, but it must not take the importance of knowing and learning the birds for yourself away, just as a side note.
And then the other thing is, which, you know, there's quite a big youth birding community in South Africa, and there's almost become this thing where there's a disconnect between, at times, if you, like the older generation, the younger generation, where in the past people would almost join a bird club to get that knowledge. It seems like the youth birding community have taken that away. Do you feel that as young birders, there's still a need for bird clubs? Because the danger I sense is this, and I want to hear your opinion on it, is you've got these youngsters who have got phenomenal knowledge. I think some of these young birders are some of the most amazing birders I've experienced. Yet at the same time, within these bird clubs, there are people with even years more experience who have got something to add to that experience. Do you feel that there's still a place for bird clubs? And if there is, what changes do you feel that bird clubs need to make to make themselves more appealing for the younger generation?
So I'm very guilty in the sense, as I am sadly not a member of the bird club, in the local bird club in Rustenburg, but my biggest reason is time restraints, because I had a very, very busy schedule with school responsibilities and academics and sports and whatever that limited the time I have available to attend bird club meetings or bird club outings, whereas our youth birding community and birding group is at our fingertips on WhatsApp. And I think, firstly, I'll firstly address how amazing the youth birding community is, and then the question on why we as youth struggle to participate in the bird clubs around us. I want to take a moment and say we are so blessed with a very big youth birding community in South Africa. Of our WhatsApp group, which is around 250 members the last time I checked, we must be at least 50 of the 250 on the cruise ship this time around. And birders are just so nice people in general. So you build friendships that last through the process, and finally being able to put a face to the name you see on WhatsApp the whole time, for many of these youth birders, for me, that was an absolute pleasure. And we've been making so good friends throughout the trip. I think the big problem in the birding community currently is that we sit with a big generational gap, because I feel you have a lot of old birders and a lot of young birders, but very little in between. We sit with very little participation of middle-aged people in South Africa, and I feel that because the youth are savvy in using the resources more effectively than the older people, and can sometimes feel intimidated by the knowledge of the older generation in the birding community, it makes us scared to necessarily join bird clubs. And I think the best way to get the youth to partake in bird club meetings, bird club outings, is to empower them. Just get them to play an important role in the club, and then you'll have them to participate. So putting them in leadership positions where they maybe don't have the most experience, but if the older people can take that step back and say, we want to include you and the people who you can influence in your influential circle, I think that would get the youth to partake much more regularly and effectively, meaningfully, as we currently do. I do think also from town to town, things differ. As most of the birders I met from the Cape Town area are very active in their bird club around there. But in the northern part of the country, I haven't heard of that many youth actively participating in bird club activity.
It'll be interesting to see the demographic of the Cape Bird Club, for example. How what are the ages? So maybe they have got more middle-aged birders, so that the gap isn't as big. So that's possibly what's happening there.
It's a very interesting statistic that BirdLife South Africa maybe should look into, just to think, how can we get more people to participate?
That's a fantastic, great answer. Thank you so much. I hope they're listening, because I think this is gold. So you, Dr. Marin, and sadly, we're about to, right at the end, we're about to go into the closing ceremony. It's gone so far. How far quick has it gone?
Flash of an eye, but also I used every single minute to enjoy it, because I can't believe that it has only been a week, but I also can't believe that a week has gone by that fast. It's the two polar opposites, but we entered a whole new world in this week, especially the 2 days we spent around the island. It totally exceeded my expectations, and I have so many stories to tell when I get home, and I'm so excited.
Let me rewind back first. So you pay quite a bit of money to come on the cruise, and it's like, this is gonna be excited. You get on, you probably got these expectations of what it's gonna be like. We're going through tropical waters in KZN, and you're on the deck, you're probably super pumped, like, hey, we're gonna get birds. And day one, day two were dead. I mean, there were mammal sightings and that, but the question I want to ask you is, what was going through your mind? I mean, we're on the ship and you think we're going to get a lot of birds. What was going through your mind? Was it maybe a little bit of a sense of disappointment? I'll ask you about the Marion Day in a moment. How do you feel for those first 2 days?
I just want to take a step back and say I'm curious to think what goes through other non-birders' minds when they hear we are paying a minimum of 16 grand to come on a trip where we go to an island where we can't get within 12 nautical miles of the island, where it's freezing cold, just to look at birds. I think they think we are totally crazy, but I love it. No, for me, funny story, the first morning when we got out, I put on multiple layers, dressed up so warm, because I thought, it's going to be cold, and I've packed.
So you had an inside cabin?
Yeah, I had an inside.
No idea, the weather's always the same inside.
I have an inside cabin. I thought, we are going to Marion Island. We're going all the way south. It's going to be cold this trip. I get out. I'm dying of just sweating all over, overheating my system. And very quickly you realized I need to get back to my room and pop on short pants and a t-shirt. I'm not going to last in these warm clothes. And I did expect the first few days to be quite quiet. I knew once we get into Marion waters, it's going to get busier and busier and busier. But what I loved about the first 2 days is I've never really been into mammals, especially not marine mammals, that much. And I had the wonderful opportunity to be in the presence of Professor Ken Finley and some other mates that are into the mammals as well. We had amazing cetacean sightings off the bow, which opened a whole new world for me as well, to realize, wow, we have this amazing variety of sea mammals right with us. And I enjoyed that. So even though the birding was quiet and dead, the mammals came alive, and I got introduced to it, which was so exciting.
And then that morning we arrive at Marion, we walk outside, it's freezing cold, the peaks of Marion in the distance. What went through your mind? There were thousands of birds. How did you feel? I don't want to hear intellect now, because you're an intellectual person. What were your emotions? What did, you know, like so many people, when they see a wandering albatross, it's almost like you want to, like a tear comes to your eye. What went through your mind? What were your emotions when you got to Marion?
So on the second day, the day before we got into the Marion-esque waters, I saw a snowy type albatross, a white-backed albatross on the horizon, a kilometer and a half away. And I thought, wow, that's cool. An albatross, a white-backed albatross, the first white-backed albatross I have seen. And the next morning you wake up and you have 100 plus different albatrosses just hanging around the ship, the giant petrels all over the place. It was absolutely surreal seeing a bird with a 3.6 meter wingspan crossing the bow, single digit meters away from you. Is just an experience you can't describe in words. Seeing penguins porpoising next to the ship, you can't describe it. It's just this excitement that runs through you that makes you want to jump up and down and scream, because you can't believe what you are seeing. And the sunrise, the first morning in Marion, I was out on the deck at around about 4 o'clock, out on the bow, and just the sun filtering through the clouds, the individual rays visible. Later on, the Prince Edward Island showing quite nicely, where you can see the icy peaks and the dark green glistening of the bit of vegetation on its sides. It was so beautiful to witness it, because at that moment I realized so little people in their lifespan will have the opportunity to witness what I am witnessing today. And for that, I need to be ever grateful.
So the last question, you're 18 years old, just finished school. You had an opportunity, like we said, to gaze upon the peaks of Marion, but there's a real challenges around Marion, the Mousetree Marion Project. They've spoken about the fact that there's mice on the island. Why do you feel that we should do everything we can to conserve Marion Island?
God has given us as humans the task of ruling over and protecting his creation. And sadly, because of things that happened, the mice that wasn't supposed to be on the island got there and is ruining a beautiful part of his creation by causing that numbers to the numbers of very important seabirds to us to decline. And we need to put a stop to that as to fulfill the task that God has bestowed upon us. We need to preserve those birds for future generations, so that they can also come on expeditions as these and stand in awe of hundreds of albatrosses, not just single-digit albatrosses, circling around them on the ship. We need to think future-minded, and that's what the Mousetree Marion Project does. If we don't climb in and help this project to come to its fruition, the numbers are going to decline so badly that these birds in a few years of time may face extinction, local extinction on the island. And please, if you feel pressed to any listener of this podcast, support the project. I think it's for a wonderful goal. And I have had the opportunity to listen to Anton Wolfart's talks on how they want to implement or the project and get the mice eradicated. And I think the planning is perfect. They just need the funds to bring it to completion, and we need to help them get there.
Yuri, it's been a privilege to talk to you. Thank you so much for chatting And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing your progress birding, your career as a doctor. And yeah, one day, hopefully, well, next Marion Cruise, we'll connect again.
Thank you so much, Mr. Cruikshank.
Well, everybody, what an absolutely incredible episode that was, listening to all of the young birders who participated in the Flock to Marion voyage. My name is John Kinghorn. I'm BirdLife South Africa's Aviatourism Project Manager. And when the host of the Birding Life, Adam Cruikshank, approached me and asked me just to say one or two words at the end of this episode, I was humbled because he explained to me what the episode was actually about. Now, for those of you who are on board, you probably would have seen me running around frantically as myself and 64 other seabird and marine mammal experts did our best to show you, the passengers, as many birds and mammal species as possible over the duration of the voyage. But it's certainly a pleasure to be back here. And the reason Adam asked me to do this recording is because when I matriculated, there were very few connections into the world of young birders. And slowly but surely, as technology progressed as well, the young birding scene started to grow. And there was a whole host of young birders on this particular voyage. And it really just reminded me, you know, a good 10 years later, just how this young birding scene here in South Africa has grown. And it is so encouraging, and it is such a positive thing to see. And I know one of the positives that came out of the previous Flock to Marion voyage was exactly this, was that there were so many youth on board. But to see it having just reached entirely new levels on this particular voyage was fantastic. And I've listened to every single one of these amazing interviews of Caleb and Yuri, Matteo, Nicholas, and it is just simply astounding the knowledge that these young birders have, and it is just the tip of a young birding iceberg. There are so many skilled, highly knowledgeable young birders moving their way through the birding ranks here in South Africa, and it is just so promising to see. Ultimately, these people are going to be the future conservationists, the future educators, and the future tourism professionals within the industry. And it's been fantastic to hear all of their stories, and I look forward certainly to be following them with much interest as they progress. And just a shout out to every single one of you who may be listening to this who participated in the Flock to Marion Again voyage, or perhaps even the previous Flock to Marion, or any Flock to Sea event that's been hosted by BirdLife South Africa. Your support is huge, and we truly do appreciate it as an organization. Obviously, these events are run in support of generating funds for our crucial conservation work, one of which is the Mouse Free Marion project, where we have partnered with Mouse Free Marion to do our best to address the eradication of the invasive house mice on Marion Island. And everybody's support in this Flock to Marion voyage assisted us in raising crucial funds to help implement this eradication program. So thank you so much to everybody. But I think over and above the birding having been fantastic, over and above the incredible young birders that were on board in full force, I think the most beneficial thing to have come out of this was the opportunity to raise awareness on a very important and crucial conservation crisis that we face at the moment as a nation and as a global birdwatching community, and that is what is taking place on Marion Island. To see all these young birders having been so invested not only in the birding but also in terms of getting up to speed with what is going on from a conservation perspective, and hearing the thoughts of Caleb, Yuri, Matteo and Nicholas in this recording is just so hugely beneficial, and it's fantastic for certainly me to hear from a BirdLife South Africa perspective that this cruise presented an educational opportunity for young birders to have been able to fully comprehend and connect with the issues that are busy taking place and that we are trying to address. And it is even more promising hearing that each and every one of them want to do their best to make an impact. And that is what these events are all about, everybody. It's about inspiring the next generation and inspiring the current generation and ensuring that people are able to see something, because once you're able to see something, all of a sudden you can appreciate it. And once people appreciate something, that well, that is when they want to start to save something. So it is really, really fantastic. And for the four young birders who are featuring in this episode, from my side, I certainly wish you all the very best in your birding journeys, and may you enjoy every single new bird, every single new destination you visit to, because once your lists start climbing higher and higher, they come certainly a lot less. So enjoy it while you can, and remember to never forget the very reason why you took up birding in the first place, and that is, of course, for the love of birds. To everybody who joined on the Flock to Marion voyage, and everybody listening to this podcast and who continues to support the Birding Life and BirdLife South Africa, as well as the Mastery Marion project, our utmost thanks to you, and we really do appreciate your support.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's show. We really appreciate your support. If you have any comments or feedback on any of the episodes, feel free to drop us an email on info@thebirdinglife.com or send us a message on any of our social media platforms. We would love to get to know you better. So, until next time, be blessed and happy birding.